Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Awesome. That was awesome. Hearing all of you guys sing that song together, especially at the end there, it was just a joyful time. I got chills up here, being able to hear everybody's voices singing. I enjoy that. I think it's the greatest choir that we could ever have, the greatest band we could ever have. I want you to know is you guys. It's you. It's not anybody up here. It's not anything that we could have up here. It's all you. You are the biggest band. So we all sing together. This morning, as you have come in, you've got your bulletin, you've picked it up, and you've made your way to your seat. I'm sure you've looked at your bulletin and you've wondered, hey, we're not in 1 Samuel as we have been in over the past several weeks. We're actually going a little bit of a different direction. And as you see on the screen here, we're starting a new sermon series, and this sermon series is called Live on Mission. And as you may recall, you may remember, back in January and February, I preached a sermon series on prayer. And I believe I discussed even during that time that the plan at that point in time was to have a sermon series on prayer, eventually to have a sermon series on living on mission, and then eventually, coming forward in the future, we'll have a sermon series on discipleship and how we should seek to disciple people in the church and all those wonderful things. And so, with that, today, if you have your copy of God's Word, your bulletin is going to be kind of your guide. I don't necessarily have a foundational passage that we're going to start from, so forgive me for that. This is unlike probably any other sermon I've ever preached before. We've always kind of had a launch pad, and today, the launch pad is not necessarily there. So forgive me for that. But before we jump in, let us pray. Dear God, this morning, as we just sing, we just pray that all glory be to Christ. God, this morning, we just pray that this sermon, the preaching of the Word, glorifies you. God, we pray this morning that as I preach, it just preaches and it comes out with simplicity, with clarity and passion. And God, I pray, I preach nothing but your words and your words alone. God, convict us, encourage us, and help us to live in the way in which you have called us to live. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. We have a missionary God. We have a missionary God. We serve a God who is on mission. I don't know if you have ever thought of it this way before, but God is a missionary. He is a missionary for himself. And when I say himself, what I mean by that, he is on mission to uphold and display his glory. And I just want to go ahead and say this right out the front here. Sometimes I think we may think it is a little bit selfish for God to be on mission for himself, or for God to be on mission for his own glory, for his own purposes, for anything along those lines. And what I just want to say right now is if God is not on mission for his own glory, if God is not on mission for himself, then that means he's on mission for somebody else, which would make God not what? God. So it is perfectly right and righteous and good that God is on mission for himself and his glory. And we see this throughout all the Bible. And so today, my goal in preaching to you, my purpose in preaching this sermon to you, is that you will know that God has a heart for mission. And in that, we will have a heart that is on mission. Now, before I dig myself a hole too deep here, I'm afraid that for many of us, when we hear the word mission, we tend to think over there, right? We tend to think those people across the country or across the oceans. And our minds immediately say, that's not me. That is them. And that is not what I want you to think about this morning. I don't want you to think them or think over there or across the country. I want you to think right here, right where you are. You are on mission. You are on mission right here in Madison, Tennessee, Nashville, Tennessee, wherever you live. God has put you there to be on mission for His glory and His kingdom. This sermon is ultimately about your heart being on mission right where you are. Now, I want you to notice I'm saying mission, not necessarily missions with an S at the end, making it a plural. Because I want you to notice that God is on mission for Himself. We too are to be on mission for God. Not that we are going on a mission trip or we are going to do missions elsewhere, but that we are on mission right here where we are. But so often, we tend to be on mission for so many other things, don't we? We tend to be on mission for ourselves. We like to lift up ourselves. We like to glorify ourselves. We like to make ourselves known. We want to be on mission for a sports team or on mission for your family or on mission for your job as you work up the career ladder or on mission for a cause. And I'm not saying that any of these things are bad things. You should want to do these things. You should want to serve and go after these things. But our mission must never be the mission that we have for those things must never be greater than the mission we have for God. If you were to ask someone what they thought your mission in life is, what would they say? Their answer is likely a reflection of the mission of your heart. I encourage you to potentially ask somebody, talk to someone and say, hey, what do you think my mission in life is? And just hear what they have to say. The church, the things that we are on mission for, the things that we are on mission for are ultimately the things that we talk about often, the things that we care about, the things that drive us, that motivate us, that move us, right? And over these next 4 weeks, as we are going through this, I'm just going to address how we are to be a people. How we are to be a church, a people that lives on mission for God and His gospel and His glory. A people that lives with intentionality on the gospel of Jesus. And church, here's what I don't want you to think over these next 4 weeks. Because I don't want this to happen. I don't want you to be thinking, great, another sermon on proclaiming Jesus. Another sermon on evangelizing. Another sermon on how I should tell someone about Jesus, right? I don't want you to think another sermon trying to guilt me to have a gospel conversation with somebody. I'm afraid that I've been guilty of doing that before, but I don't want you to hear that. That is not my heart in this. My hope in all of this is not that I'm guilting you to proclaim Jesus, but that you are convicted and encouraged by God's Word to proclaim His glory and His gospel. That you would just simply live your life on mission right where you are. Right where God has you. Where He has you going. I'm not telling you to go knock on every door. I'm not telling you that every conversation you have must be about Jesus. I'm not telling you any of those things. I'm just simply want to encourage you over these next 4 weeks that our lives will be on mission for God and His gospel. We look for ways to meet new people, make new friends, as we have open ears to listen for potential spiritual conversations that can lead to gospel conversations. We have hearts that reflect God and His mission for His own glory. Church, to bring us back to God being a missionary and we having hearts on mission, Have you ever wondered why? Why are we to be on mission? Why are we commanded to go therefore and make disciples? Why is this the way God has ordained for His gospel to go forth? The answer is simply because God Himself is on mission to display His glory to all the earth. And this idea, this mission, transcends the whole entire Bible. It starts in Genesis 1 and goes all the way to Revelation chapter 22. And while there are several ways in which God displays His glory throughout the Bible, today I want to show you two. I want to show you two ways in which God, in which way God is on mission to make His glory known. Many of the other ways could honestly fit in these two, but today I just want to focus on these two. And the first way that we see God on mission for Himself, for His glory, is that His glory is displayed in creation. His glory is displayed in creation. And so this begins in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And then if you keep going down the list, He creates the light, He creates the sky, He creates day and night, He creates dry land, He creates vegetation, He creates the stars, He creates the planets, He creates the sun and the moon, He creates the birds of the air and the fish of the seas, of the waters, He creates animals that live on land. And then we read that God creates mankind. Man after His own image. And God saw that all He created, and He said it was what? Very good. But why was this creation created? Why was this world established? Listen to Psalm 19, chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. The other night, we had a little bonfire outside in our little fire pit. We roasted some marshmallows and had some s'mores. It's Auden's first time ever doing this, and she just had a ball, right? It was a wonderful time. When we first got out there, we could look up and we could see two little lights up in the sky. One of them, I believe, was the planet Venus, and the other one, a star, I guess. I don't really know. I'm not a stargazer or anything like that, so please forgive me if I get any of it wrong. But then as it progressively gets darker and darker and darker, star pops up here, and more stars pop up. And we begin counting them, and we begin pointing out every new star that we see. And at this time, I am more focused on helping Auden from losing her marshmallow in the fire or catching on fire and burning up, right? Or her getting too close to the fire and she's got her princess dress on that's just all flowy and everything else. And so you can just imagine the worry there of like the little dress just catching on fire, you know? So you're more worried about that. But looking back and thinking back, I'm amazed that our God is so big and so mighty, so awesome and so powerful that He is able to create all the stars we see. So much so He knows them by name. And I just marvel. Just marvel at His creation. Of how He's put everything up there. Why is it that when you look up at the stars in the night sky, wherever you are, you marvel? It is because creation is declaring the glory of God. It's because creation is declaring the glory of God. And I encourage you, church, I encourage you to find a way to get away from the street lights and just look up into the night sky. Find a way to drive out to the country one day, one evening, and just look up. We go to my parents' house often, and we live like 20, 25 minutes from the nearest kind of city that has a lot of lights. And when it gets a little dark, And there ain't no streetlights around. You can just look up and you can see the whole Milky Way galaxy, right? It's just an awesome thing to see. It's awesome to know that it reveals the glory of God. Romans 1 teaches us about creation and how through creation God reveals His glory to people. And so I just want to read it here and listen to what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. To say it differently here, basically he's saying their sin has caused them not to see the truth of God. Their sin has caused them to deny God. Their sin has caused them not to give glory to God. And it continues on in verse 19. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Verse 20, for His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has clearly been perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Paul is saying, since creation, all of creation has been a display of the eternal power of God. You look up at the stars and what do you think? Who made that? Who sent those stars there? Who did that? What you begin to see is that there had to be somebody that did it, some being that did it, and you begin to think it had to be a God. It had to be somebody. It was clearly understood. His divine nature was put on display. But even though these people would have recognized it was God, even though we, before we believed in Jesus, would have looked up and understood there was a God that created this, we wouldn't dishonor. We would dishonor Him. That's what verse 21 says. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. God has displayed His glory so well in creation that every human to ever exist has acknowledged that there is a God that has created all of this. But because of their sin, but because of their rebellion, they do not honor God or give thanks to Him. And instead, they exchange the glory of God for idols, for graven images. I hope this morning you were able to see how God is on mission for Himself in displaying His glory through creation. As a matter of fact, the very reason we go to the nations, we go to far off places to share the gospel with people, it's because people don't know Jesus. Even though His glory has been declared to them in creation, because of their sin, they've suppressed the truth. They've denied it. And every single individual, I want you to know this, I'm going to say this out loud, and you're probably going to look at me funny, but I want you to know this. Every single individual on this planet, some way, shape, or form, they know that God is there. But because of their sin, they suppress the truth and they deny Him. Which means that those people who never hear the gospel of Jesus, they're not going to be in heaven. They need somebody to take the gospel to them. They need someone to go and proclaim His gospel to them. And let me say this. You may be thinking, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound very great. If that was the case, if the people that have never heard the gospel of Jesus are not, or let me say it this way, if we think that the people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus are going to heaven, why are we sending missionaries to them? Wouldn't it be better that we don't send them? We send missionaries across the oceans so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus and believe. enter into eternal life with God. And church, I want you to know this morning that God in His creation has given us a way to talk about Him. God has given us a way to tell of His glory to others. And church, this is just a natural way to lean into spiritual conversations. Our gospel conversations, they don't have to have a script, right? I think so often we think we have to have this like script that we read and go by perfectly. They don't have to be a forced transition, or they don't have to be a rehearsed thing. God has given us a natural testimony to His glory all around us. As creation points to God, you and whoever it may be having a conversation, they say something. How beautiful are those flowers? How wonderful, how beautiful is that sunset, that sunrise? The mountains, you know, especially out in East Tennessee, where you get out to the Rockies and you look up and you look at them. How majestic are they? The stars, they're infinite. In those moments, church, God's creation has given you an invitation to talk about Himself, to talk about His glory, to talk about His gospel. Jonathan Edwards says it so well. The end of creation. The end of creation is that the creation might glorify God. And we as people of God have an opportunity to help people point people to the Creator of this world so that they too might glorify God. Church, have open ears to pick up on everyday normal conversations that can lead to spiritual conversations. When you are living on mission, you see these things, you hear these things, you pick these things up, and you take an everyday conversation to a spiritual conversation. Church, God has chosen His people to proclaim His glory, and this leads us to the next way God is on mission to make His glory known. The second way we see God on mission for His own glory is that His glory is declared through His redeemed people. His glory is declared through His redeemed people. And I'm going to take us all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 again. And from the very beginning, God has chosen people. He's chosen His people to declare His glory. And as people of God, church, I want you to know that He has chosen you. He's chosen you as the means to share His glory, to declare His glory, to share His gospel. We see this in Genesis 1:28. Take us all the way back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 27, God created male and female in His own image. And then in verse 28, He says, "And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over all these things." Why is it that God gives mankind the command to be fruitful and multiply? It's because of His mission. It's because of His mission to declare His own glory. You see, every time a new child is born, it's another image bearer that can bring glory to who? God. You see in this church? Just as creation was created to display the glory of God, so too is humanity. Church, we were created with a purpose, and that purpose is to declare the glory of God. And with every new image bearer, there is another that can declare the glory of God. This becomes even more visual for us in Abram. Listen to Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Church, I hope you're kind of picking up on this. The mission of God began in creation, but right here in Genesis 12, we see God launch a global plan to display His glory in others, in that they are blessed by Abraham and his descendants. God has chosen Abram to be the instrument in blessing other nations, other people. And in Abram and his descendants, particularly the people of Israel, they would be blessing families of this earth, blessing other nations. And in doing so, guess what? God's glory is declared. God's glory is put on display. You think about the Exodus, right? All the 10 plagues that are happening. What did God use in that? What was the purpose of all that? To display His glory. You think of the nation of Israel, the whole point of them being there was they were supposed to be a people that blessed others. Now, did they do that well? No, they didn't. They failed over and over and over and over at that. But these three verses are ultimately what they were supposed to be. Church, the point that I'm wanting you to see here is just simply that God is on mission for His glory, and He's chosen His people to declare His glory. His redeemed people to declare it. Abram, the people of Israel, would be a people that would bless other nations and declare the glory. But this promise would not be fulfilled in Abraham. This promise would not be fulfilled in Abraham's kids. This promise would not be fulfilled by the nation of Israel. But this promise would be fulfilled by a distant, distant, distant descendant of Abraham. This promise would be fulfilled by a man named Jesus Christ. God, on a mission for Himself and His glory, would send His Son, Jesus. Would send His Son, Jesus. Adam and Eve and everything they did right, they glorified God until they didn't. And that messed up everything. Man was created to declare the glory of God, but because of sin, as we read in Romans 1 earlier, we choose not to honor God and glorify Him. And this glory we would give to ourselves, to others, or some other object. We, in choosing to dishonor God, would be condemned to hell. Condemned to spending eternity in separation from God as Father. But God, on a mission for Himself, on a mission for His glory, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you, to redeem us. In John 3:16-17, one of our favorite verses to quote and favorite verses to think about, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." He goes on in verse 17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." Why? Because the world was already condemned. "But in order that the world might be saved through Him." Church, this morning, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I want you to realize that God, on a mission for His glory, sent His Son to be your Savior, to be your Redeemer. And all I want you to think back, I just want all of you to kind of think back to the day that you were saved. Think back to the moment that you believed in Jesus Christ, and I want you to ask the question, who got the glory that day? Was it you? Was it the preacher? Was it a friend that shared the gospel with you? No. It was none of those. The person, the being that got the glory that day was God. God got the glory. And in every salvation that ever happens, guess who gets the glory? God does. And now, just as Abraham was blessed by God, we too have become blessed by God in that we have eternal salvation. And just as Abram was blessed to bless, guess what, church? We have been blessed to bless. We have been blessed to bless. How do we bless others? Well, obviously, it's by how we treat them, right? We show them the love of Christ. We treat them with kindness and goodness and mercy and gentleness. We show them patience among so many other things. You live out the fruits of the Spirit, right? But in church, more importantly, we bless others by pointing people to Jesus. We bless others by pointing people to the Savior. Church, God on mission for Himself has chosen you to be the instrument in declaring the gospel of Jesus to others. Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 21, after the resurrection, they're all standing together with His disciples. And Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I am sending you. If you have believed in Jesus, the Savior of your life, you have been sent by God to declare His glory, to declare His redemption, to declare His salvation. And church, it is necessary that we declare Jesus because as Romans 10, 13 through 15 teaches us that people must hear before they can believe. And so read this with me in Romans 10, verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise the Lord for that. If you have never called on the name of Jesus this morning, I want you to know that you can call on Him right now by believing in Him, trusting in Him as Savior and Lord, and repenting of your sins, and you will be saved. No ifs, ands, buts about it, no questions about it. There's nothing special you have to do but simply believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And if you've never made that decision this morning, I just want to encourage you to do so. I want to encourage you right now, right where you are sitting, just to trust in Jesus and know that He died for you and for your salvation, and God has sent Him for you. But for those of you that have believed in Jesus Christ, I want you to know, as verse 14 goes on to say, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We just read in John chapter 20, verse 21, that God has sent His disciples, or Jesus has sent His disciples. You want to know who's all preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Not just me. I might be a preacher that stands up here behind a pulpit on a Sunday morning and preaches the gospel to all of you, but you want to know who God has called to preach the gospel to others? You. You. You have been sent. God has chosen His redeemed people to be instruments in how people hear the gospel of Jesus. And this all begins with us just simply having a heart on mission. Having a heart that is reflective of God. Our hearts are to desire the same things God does. Our hearts are to long for the same things God does, and God longs for His glory to be made known. And every time we declare the gospel of Jesus, His glory is being declared. Guys, you have been saved into a purpose that is far larger than just yourself. You have been saved into something that is far bigger than just yourself. You have been saved into a purpose to have a heart on mission because you understand that as God has chosen you, His people, as a means in which others hear the gospel of Jesus.
Hey guys, sorry about that. For some reason, the sermon audio cut out at that point in time for some reason. But I just wanted to go ahead and record something for you guys so you can have an understanding of what happened after that. Directly after that last comment, I went ahead and said that the great thing for us to know about sharing the gospel of Jesus is that that is just simply our only responsibility. We share the gospel, and that's it. We can't change people's lives. We can't change people's hearts. We can't We can't convert people, but it is God who does the changing. It's God who does the converting. It's God who does the changing of the heart. He is the one that saves. I then go into the conclusion of the sermon, and in the conclusion of a sermon, I mostly focus on how we should have hearts on mission for the glory of God. I talk about how there should be a heart that sees people differently, a heart that sees people not just as cashiers or coworkers or a neighbor or a friend or a family member, but rather as eternal souls in need of the gospel of Jesus. I talk about how we should have a heart that feels compassion toward people rather than being annoyed or dismissive or burdened by them. A heart that seeks to sow kindness and goodness even when you don't want to. A heart that prays for family members, for friends, for neighbors, for coworkers, for anybody that's around us that we're in a relationship with to be convicted and believe in Jesus Christ. A heart that prays for God to give you opportunities to proclaim the gospel, and hearts that are willing to speak the gospel when those opportunities come. It's hearts that are willing to invest in new people, meeting someone new, making a new friend, in order to share the gospel with them. In church, I go ahead and read at the very end in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Let's have hearts that proclaim the excellencies of God, who have called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Hey guys, hope you all have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the sermon.